Let me ask this question. I asked this question earlier, and I want to welcome those of you online watching us through our live stream feed. Thank you for joining us. But I asked this question at the 7:30 a.m. service, and nobody raised their hand because I assume most of the graduates are still sleeping. How many of you are here and you graduated? You graduated from college, university, or high school, or will graduate from high school in the next few weeks? Anybody here? One? All right. Let's give the one a hand. Oh, another one, two? Okay, all right. And parents, give yourselves a hand. Come on. Yeah, many of you sacrificed, many of you encouraged your young teenager to finish and finish strong. So, I'm always excited about graduations. I don't like to go to graduations because of the crazy crowd, but I'm so excited when people step into a new season of life. And one thing about graduations, I find in my conversations with young people that they actually look back at the degree, look back at the piece of paper, look at their accomplishment and all the effort and all the time and all the finances they poured into their study to get the degree. I find that a portion of these ones who get the degree actually step into another place and another career that is no way related to the degree. How many of you are a testimony to that? You might have received your engineering degree, but you're in business or some other area. And I find in conversations that so many graduates, they step into a new season of life and they're searching for their purpose. They're looking for a fit in life. They're looking to belong maybe in life. And they're searching and searching, and so many sometimes don't find it. They're trying to grasp the gold ring of life. They're trying to grasp the American dream. But so many of the graduates find that the American dream is an illusion. And trying to accomplish things in life and grasping that gold ring in life is an illusion. Let me just say this, that all of us here in this room, and those of you watching online, the only way you're going to be able to find and fulfill your purpose, the only way you're going to do it is through two key relationships. Pastor Russell spoke about it earlier. The first key relationship is with Jesus Christ. And if you're new here today, welcome home. Our house is your house. But having an ongoing committed relationship with Jesus Christ, realizing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sin, his blood that was poured out, allowing the removal of our sin. And through him and through his sacrifice, we become children of God. But the other second key relationship in order for you to find and fulfill your purpose is through spiritual family, relationships around you. Look at the person next to you, on your left and right, in front of you, behind you. I know it can be scary. You've been sitting next to them for the last 20 minutes or so. This is your family. These brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, spiritual moms and dads, this is our family. This is us. So to this morning, we conclude the series, This Is Us. We're made on purpose for a purpose. Pastor Norman, please pray for Pastor Norman. He is on his last weekend as he completes his study break, getting refreshed, praying, and getting ready to launch us into the summer months and into the final months of this year, the second half of the year. So he's excited to be back to preaching the Word of God. Being a disciple, a disciplined follower of Christ, and growing as a disciple is best done in the context of spiritual family. Today, I want to talk, right? We've been talking about finding your purpose, finding your fit. But before you belong, before you become who God wants you to become, you must belong before you become. You must belong before you become. The two greatest commandments in the Bible, love God and love others. What's the first command? Love. Second command, love. Okay, maybe some of you guys are tired from the Pearl City graduation last night. The Campbell graduation on Friday. Love. Love. This side, I want you to say God. Love. This side, others. Love. yeah. I don't know what came on me, okay, all right. Right, love God, love others. Spiritual family, spiritual relationships. The cornerstone scripture that Pastor Billy spoke about last week, we're going to continue that today out of 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished or poured out on us, that we should be called children of God. We sang that this morning. We are sons and daughters of God when you come into relationship through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is what we are. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are a child of God. Say it like you really mean it, okay? You are a child of God. Moving on, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now that we are children of God and what we will be has not yet been made known. Yes, we're becoming, we're growing, we're being discipled in the faith of Jesus Christ and with each other. So we're becoming what God wants us to become. We will never fully realize who we are until we get to heaven. But along the journey on this earth, we can become. But we must first belong. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Let me begin here this morning by saying, when we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts, we are born again into spiritual family. We are born again into spiritual family. Last week, Pastor Billy preached a lights out message on becoming a child of God. If you missed it, go online. Go online. Scripture says in John chapter 1, but to all who believed and accepted Him, He gave the right. Right? When we see this word right, we go into the natural context of where we are in society today. Everybody is demanding for their right. Right to be heard, right to be independent, right to do things, right? Scripturally, it's our right to become children of God when we receive Him into our life. You are a child of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion. Oh, the 7:30 a.m. service, they laughed at this because they have passion even at their old age. Or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. It's a spiritual birth into His family and into a spiritual family. Ephesians 2:19, the words of Paul says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. The earthly expression of being in God's family is in the context of a local church. There are many local churches and many different expressions of the body of Christ. I love this. I have friends who are Lutherans. I have friends who are Methodists. I have friends from different other religious beliefs. But we're all part of God's family. But even at a greater level, God has called us to be part of a localized family, a spiritual family, where we can join in relationships, grow in our faith, become disciples, grow as disciples together. Everybody say together. The sad truth about life and about many Christians is that sometimes they choose to live as orphans outside of spiritual family. They make that choice, maybe because it's an offense, maybe because of philosophical beliefs, right? Maybe it's because of some bad experience in a previous church environment, right? All of those things. Maybe it's because of shame, of sin, things that we make a personal decision to do. And so we disconnect from being part of a spiritual family. We disconnect from being part of relationships. And once we disconnect, we will never be able to be fully who God has purposed us to be. You know, I grew up watching The Lone Ranger in the 70s. How many grew up watching The Lone Ranger? Yeah. Not the Johnny Depp Lone Ranger, right? Last year's movie, right? But the real Lone Ranger. Look at that. Look at the handsome bug, all right? What a nice horse. I grew up watching this. Black and white. Black and white TV. How many grew up watching black and white TV? Okay, y'all, you guys are dating yourselves, okay? Many people want to be Lone Ranger Christians, right? It's about me. It's about my needs. I just want to park where I want to park. I want to sit where I want to sit. I want to give a little there, give a little here, serve a little here on my terms. When the worship leader says, raise up their hands, I'll think about it. And you want to live as a lone ranger in life. It's just about me. Don't talk to me. Don't come near me. I live my life. I want to, it's just me and God. Me and God. That's it. I don't need anybody else. So they live as a lone ranger. But tell you what, even the lone ranger had Tonto. And every time when I watched that show, any time that the Lone Ranger was in deep kimchi, right, and in distress, Tonto was right there alongside of him, working together with him. There are no Lone Rangers in God's kingdom. Can I hear amen? That's a little weak. Can I hear a stronger amen? Because the enemy, there's a real enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Steal, kill, and destroy your destiny. How does he do that? He tries to bring disunity and discord in your relationships. That's why the enemy works overtime to break up your marriages, to break up parental and child relationships, to break up sibling relationships. He works overtime to break those relationships, even with your relationship with God. Because he realizes that when a church is unified, when a church is together, nothing can overcome the church. You are the church. This building is not the church. I was going to do the Pastor Norman thing, slap the person next to you. We won't do that. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you are the church. Tell them again, we are the church. Not this building. We are the church. And the only way we can fully accomplish God's purpose in our lives is through the local church. I was reading an article this weekend. I guess this has been going on in decades in Japan. It's called Rent a Family. Yeah, our team is actually on the plane going to Japan, and they're going to be actually in this environment. But let me read the article. It says that people are so busy in Japan, right, because they're trying to grasp the gold ring. They're trying to make a name have a good name for the family, they're trying to get ahead, make a lot of money, right? And that's all they pursue. Well, they're so busy that older people can now rent a family. Here's the quote. In Japan, you can rent a family. Elderly Japanese who are isolated from their children by the frantic pace of modern life can rent a family for lunch and a few hours. Yeah. Just call Nippon Kokusai Honbu and ask for a son, daughter, grandchild, and whatever relative you want, and that type or that person will show up at your door and be a part of your family. But it's not cheap. For 3 hours with that person, it'll cost you over $1,100 US. Woohoo! Right? The owner who founded a business in 1990 went as a businesswoman. She was too busy to visit her mother. So company staff visited her mother instead. And she found this to be a success so much that she observed that many of her customers said that the common thread of why people were asking for rent-a-family members is that they were thirsty for human love, looking for replacement relationships, but relationships that would terminate as soon as the contract was done. If you lost your son, you could rent a son. If you lost your wife, you could rent a wife. I know some of you, I looked at the 7:30 a.m. service because they already left and the wheels were turning. Oh, I wonder if I can exchange my wife and I'm like, stop it. I saw some of them going, oh yeah, my son who doesn't listen to me, doesn't take out the trash and clean up his room, maybe I can get another son. That's not what I'm talking about. But this business is booming in Japan. You can Google it. Don't Google it now. But you can Google it and find out that there's multitude of businesses opening up all over Japan so that you can rent a relationship, rent a family. And it's booming in different parts of the world. Spiritual family is not like that. You don't rent relationships. You don't rent relationships. You stay in relationships. Can I hear amen? Belonging to God's family. Let's move on. Belonging to God's family, we inherit and enjoy all. Everybody say all. All of the family's blessings. Scripture says, the words of Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. The Bible is comprised of two different sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Paul wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament. So in his letter to the church in Galatia, he writes, "So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God also made you an heir." Meaning this, when you come into a relationship with his son, through his son, Jesus Christ, you inherit all the rights, all the privileges, all of the inheritance, same as Jesus Christ. God sees you the same. You're his son, you're his daughter. How many think that's a great thing? You receive all the rights, all the inheritance, just as his son, Jesus Christ, when you come into a relationship, when you become part of his family. Take a right turn in your Bible. A few pages later, in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every," everybody say every, "special blessing in Christ." Everything, every special blessing. Maybe for some of you, you've been looking for that blessing in your health, in your finances, in your relationships, in your career, in your studies. You're looking for that special blessing. In Christ, you are able to inherit every special blessing. Verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us." That means this. Paul is saying this, that you are able to receive every special blessing. For some of you, that should be a word of encouragement, because some of you have been waiting and praying for that blessing of God. When you stay in a relationship with Jesus Christ, committed relationship with Jesus Christ, and you stay in relationship with others, guess what? That blessing is right around the corner. She'll be coming around the corner when she comes, around the mountain when she comes. That blessing will be right there. But stay in relationship with Jesus. Stay in relationship with each other. Let me say this, that the church in its lowest form is a network of believers or a community of believers that desire to grow in their faith through the preaching of the word, through worship, to be in a positive environment. How many think this environment is positive? Well, Pastor, you don't know what this had to go through in the parking lot. Just a joke. This is a positive environment, right? We're trying to encourage one another, right? Some choose in the church family to give a little, right? Some may choose to serve here, to serve there a little bit, giving up their gifts and talents and abilities. But let me just say this. That form of church is the lowest form, and it's an incomplete picture of what a church is. And so much of American Western society and a philosophy of a church is, I'm just going to attend, I'm just going to come in, however I feel. If it's a sunny day, maybe I'll show up. If there's clouds, I may not. If the city and county closes, the DOT closes the freeway, I'll just stay home. Man, how I feel. I feel a little sick. I think I'll just stay home. If you're really sick, stay home. Watch online. But if you can get to the house of God, if you can get in community with one another, get there. I love that song. Get there if you can. Right? Right? Get there. Because in community, in relationship, we will become all that God wants us to become. Through relationships, now look at each other. Now smile. You guys are looking at me. We're going to stay right here. We got about 45 minutes, so we'll stay right here until you, just a quick glance. Smile. Yeah. Tell them, this is us, baby. This is us. And I think half of you guys are like, I hope Pastor Norman comes back soon. This guy drank too much caffeine. Okay, blame Starbucks. But I'm passionate about this. That it's in community, in relationship that we're able to accomplish more together than individually. Can I hear amen? There's a big difference. And I'm going to say this. As unoffensive, as non-offensive as possible. But I have to say it. There's a big difference between when God leads you out. When God leads you out. Versus when you choose to leave. Many people in a spiritual family, they choose to leave because of offense, because of a philosophical belief, because maybe they don't feel like they're growing enough in their faith. Pretty soon that it becomes all about you. Now, if God leads you out, or if God led you in to this house, I want to encourage you, be a part of the house. Be a part of the family. Because one of the benefits of spiritual family is relationships that will fill the gaps. You know, as we get on in the day, our services get younger. Pastor Russell, he leads our college ministry. And we find that probably at our 7:45 p.m. service, which is predominantly collegians, probably right, make sure I got my facts right, 70 to 80% of those that come to our 7:45 service come from a dysfunctional or broken family. It's a high number. It's a high statistic. Where 70 to 80% of the people that show up come from a dysfunctional or broken family. Maybe you here come from that background. What a spiritual family can do is it can fill those gaps, those relationships that we're missing. Pastor Billy preached last week, but let me just share my observation of Pastor Billy. I met him in 2000, so I've known him now for 18 years. I've seen the journey of his growth. I've seen the journey of his maturity in leadership and spiritually and leading this house. He often said this story, and you guys know, you heard it a little bit last week. That he came from a broken family. His dad was in prison. Now his dad is working for us. How's that? Yeah. He didn't have a good relationship with his mom. Right? Wasn't that strong. And so he came to Pearlside. And as he came into Pearlside and as he came into relationships, guess what? He found spiritual moms and spiritual dads. He's the only child in his family. He found spiritual brothers, and he found spiritual sisters. And he will say this if he was here today. It's because of those relationships of my spiritual fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters around me that I was able to overcome in my life. I was able to grow in maturity. And that's the reason why I'm so glad we see who he is today. Amazing father, amazing husband, amazing leader in this house. But it stemmed from him belonging first. And as he belonged, he has become who God desires him to be. Can I hear amen? What about you? You might have dysfunctional, broken family. But in this spiritual family, the relationships around you can fill those gaps. Can I hear amen? Scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. The Heavenly Father can be your father. Scripture says in another place, it says, I am a father to the fatherless. I'm a father to the fatherless. That's what he does. That's what he provides. Galatians 6:10 says, so then we have every opportunity, as we have every opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Everybody say everyone. Let us do good to everyone, even that obnoxious coworker. Yeah. That awkward person at your job. All right. The waiter that gives you cold food that messes up your order. Instead of getting angry at them, bless them and pray for them and do good to them. Can I hear amen? Give them a 30% tip. Okay, nobody said amen. Okay. Right? Do good to everyone. And then Paul goes on, especially those who are of the household of faith here in this community, especially those, even if you may not like them. All right? All of our staff, I had some of our staff here today, okay? They're not all my best buddies, all right? All right? I have a few close friends on staff, but because we have a large staff, I am not close friends to everybody, and trust me, they don't want me to be their close friend. It goes both ways. But there is a love for each other. There's a sense of togetherness for each other. There's a sense of covering each other's back, moving forward into the purpose that God has for us. Spiritual family isn't perfect. Just look at the person next to you. Or better yet, when you get home, look at the mirror. You ain't perfect. Now, I'm as close to perfection as can be, but I don't know about the rest of you. God's still working on all of you and you online, right? Spiritual family isn't perfect. We have disagreements. We have arguments. It isn't always as a bed of roses. We have bumps in the road, but we choose to stay together because there's unity in diversity. Whatever role that God has placed you in or whatever gift that He has placed you in, use it for the greater body. I remember, I'm picking on Pastor Billy because he's on a plane right now going to get his doctorate degree, an amazing job that he's doing. But I remember 2003, Pastor Camille was sitting here at the 7:30 as I was recanting this story. In 2003, we were still meeting up at Momilani Elementary before we transitioned the morning services over to LCC. And we were setting up for our Easter service, and Easter service is usually the largest service of any service in the year. And so we were getting ready, and in those days we had to physically run wires, put speakers up, set up the video projector that most times didn't work, right? And we would do, it was hot and stinky and it was late, and Pastor Camille was cracking the whip at us. She always does. I was young, okay? I was a worship pastor. I was a college young adult pastor at that time. So we had a bunch of us setting up. So Billy and I decided to put one of the speakers up. And it was probably three times this size. It was probably 60 to 80 pounds. And so Billy's a strong young man, right? He was at that time. Sorry, Billy, I know you might be watching. And so we were putting the big speaker up on this pole. And I thought, because you're younger, you're stronger, you should carry 99% of the weight. And I'll just kind of guide it to get into the hole and settle down, right? Well, he thought I had it because I was the leader. I thought he had it. So guess what happened? Bam! Boom! And guess where it landed? My big toe. My big toe. And it hurt. I think I said a few French words at that time. I don't know. All right, something came out of me. I don't know. I wanted to punch Billy, but I was in too much pain. Yeah. And I never thought about my big toe until that moment. I'm like, why do we have this toe? Why? Okay, it has no significance in my life. But at that moment, it was the loudest part of my body. And it was screaming pain for the next several days. I was at the Easter service and greeting people. Like, what's wrong with you, Pastor? Oh, it's okay. And to this day, I remember. You know how I remember? Because my big toe is deformed. I get layer upon layer upon layer upon nails, and it never goes out right. You can't. And there's no pedicure in on this island that can cure that. I go sometimes to the pedicure, let me be honest, and they look at me like, ooh, next. Oh, that caffeine is kicking in, baby. Right? You might think you're like just, I'm just only a big toe. What can I contribute? What significance can I play in this church? Well, you'll find your significance. Oh, I'm sorry, I spit on you. You'll find your significance when you serve the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a big toe. Be a proud big toe. And all the big toes in the house say,
yeah.
Be proud, right? And let me just say this. Your spiritual family will outlast your natural family. Your spiritual family will outlast your natural family. I look at my own life. My dad, he's in his mid-90s, right? Early signs of dementia. He can't get out. My sisters tell me he's fallen multiple times. They had to call the paramedics multiple times. He can't get out of the house. My mom is right behind him in age. And I realize this. As my parents get older, they're going to pass from this life. But I tell you what. Although I might lose my natural mother and father in this life, in this house, I will always have spiritual mothers and fathers. I will always have spiritual brothers and sisters in this house. What about you? Do you have that? That's what God has called us. When we get to heaven, we'll be a unified spiritual family, right? And our unified spiritual family, when we're worshiping Jesus Christ and God upon the throne, right? Our spiritual family, our greater unified spiritual family will have a greater importance and greater significance than our natural family. So let's start practicing now. Let's start activating now in relationships. Let's get to it now. Can I hear amen? There's a poem by Mavis Williams about a person trying to find a perfect church. Well, she writes this. If you should find the perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sake, don't join that church. You'll spoil the atmosphere, but since no perfect church exists, we're all imperfect men, then please stop looking for that church and love the church you're in. So keep on serving in your church until the resurrection, and then we will all form the church without an imperfection. Serve, belong, so that you can become. Thirdly, in spiritual family, we all share the same DNA. We all share the same bloodline, right? People say this phrase, right? The bloodline of a family is thicker, right? Let me tell you this. The bloodline of Jesus Christ is thicker than your natural bloodline. Can you hear amen? The bloodline of Jesus Christ moving and connecting all of us, intertwining among all our relationships, is thicker than your natural bloodline. And that DNA is obedience. Obedience to the word of God, to Jesus Christ, to the leading of his spirit. Scripture says, there's a point in scripture in Matthew chapter 12, the story was Jesus Christ was ministering. And he ended up in the temple, the synagogue. And as he was teaching, the scribes or the Pharisees, which were the teachers of the law, they were all about trying to entrap Jesus into saying something that would discredit who he was and something that would be against Scripture, as they knew. And so they're trying to set up all these traps. And finally, as Jesus continues to heal, as Jesus continues to teach, a messenger comes in from the outside and says, "Sir, your family is here." We pick it up here. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and brother stood outside asking to speak to him. But when he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and is my sister and is my mother." Jesus used the presence of his natural family to teach us that there is another larger family in which you and I can find and fulfill the purposes of God, and that is spiritual family. God's family. You and I together. I mean, I love this about this church. We should all experience family to its fullest. Because I know sometimes when we come into a body like this, it's hard to find our place, hard to get in with. A church should be inclusive, not exclusive. We should be including everybody. We should be moving forward together in all that God wants us to be. Spiritual family happens when a community of believers embark on a common mission. We're on a mission together. Next weekend, we're going to honor those who have fallen and sacrificed their lives for the freedom of our country and also our current military ohana. I look at this, and if you have some military people here, I hope I'm saying what is true. That whether you're a platoon, brigade, squad, unit, right? Not all the time you'll like the other person next to you in your squad. Not all the, there's personality clashes. There's philosophical differences. But when the bullets are flying and when the bombs are going off, trust me, these men and women, when they're with each other, they have one thing in mind. I'm going to take care of my brother. I'm going to take care of my sister. And we're going to accomplish the mission. And nothing will stop us. Do we have that same mentality in our lives? That when bullets are flying in life, the bombs are going off in other people's lives, do we say, I'm here, you're my brother. Brother, you're my sister. You know, I was looking at that youth camp video. And I was telling the 7:30 a.m. service, maybe it may not pertain to you this morning, but I was challenging them as grandparents, right? When their kids get old, right? Sometimes they think, right, when the kids have kids, okay, their parenting is done, right? And they're like, I can just cruise in life and my main job is to spoil the grandkids and the great-grandkids. That's it. You're going to parent them. I'm done parenting. Well, in the spiritual family, guess what? Parents, you will never be done parenting. That was a great time to say amen. You're never done parenting because guess what? Yes, your kids might be old. Yes, you might be shouting hallelujah as your kids get out the doors. You get your house back. You can eat all your own food. But in this house, if you are a natural parent, it doesn't stop when your kids get old. You can continue to be a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, a spiritual brother, as auntie and uncle with other people around you. The next generation. When I see that video, I'm like, come on. How many aunties and uncles can we have raised up to help disciple and help parent these young people so that they don't have to go through the hardship that we went through? Can I hear amen? That's a weak amen. Can I hear a stronger amen? Come on now. You guys feeling me today? God has called us to be in relation. God has called us to be in spiritual family. Right? Be born again puts you into family, but it doesn't necessarily make you family. I'll say it again. Being born again puts you into family, but it doesn't necessarily make you family. What makes you family is making that choice of obedience to be in relationship. When hardships come, when words are exchanged, when things happen in your grace group, when things happen in services, ooh, man, I got told where to sit. I got told where to park. I got told which shuttle to get into. I want to be the Lone Ranger. No, right? When we're in community together, right? We make a concerted effort to say, we're going to stay together, even though at the times it may be difficult. Can I hear amen? You know, recently, I believe at the tail end of last year or this year, I purchased a MacBook Pro, the newest computer, and it's a powerful computer. And the guys researched it for me and said, hey, Pastor, you should get this computer. So I got it. And out of the box, I opened it up and immediately plugged it in. And I was able to do a lot of things. I was able to surf the net. I was able to check my emails. I was able to send messages, all of the neat things right out of the box. But I realized this, that there was something missing in this computer in order for me to fully use it to its full potential. And there were some things I couldn't do with this computer until I added a few apps and software into the computer. I had to do both Samsung phones and Apple phones, although if you're Apple phone, you're going to get to heaven first. God said, those who are Apple users sit at my right hand. Okay, all right. But I realized this. I needed to download stuff onto my computer in order to, for it to fully function the way I desired it to do and to function and to be. In the same way, when you come into relationship with Jesus Christ, you're a son or daughter. You receive all the benefits. You're excited. Your sins are forgiven. Maybe you got healed. Maybe your marriage got reconciled. So many great things and so many great benefits. But you will never be all that you can be until you get some downloads into your life. And additions into your life. And that only comes through spiritual family. Rubbing shoulders with people. In your grace group. Here at service. Giving. Serving. When you're doing all that, guess what? God is pouring in. He's adding. He's adding. He's adding. He's adding. And pretty soon, you're going to be all that God wants you to become. Because of relationship. It's allowing Him to work in your life. And finally, this. We become more fully who we are as we live in discipleship relationships in a spiritual family. Scripture says in Hebrews 3, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Everybody say today. Today, that's so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Meaning this, in spiritual families, sometimes we must have difficult conversations. Sometimes in spiritual family, we have to go there just like your natural family. But as we do these conversations and as we have these interactions, guess what? The difference is that we do it in love. We do it so that you can become all that you can be through Jesus Christ. And as we do this, we're able to encourage one another. We're able to grow in faith with one another. Final scripture, by this, it is evident who are the children of God. And who are the children of the devil? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. It's in Scripture. Are you a child of God or are you a child of the devil? What separates you and me is that we're practicing righteousness and that we're loving each other. We're loving each other. Two things, and then we're close in prayer. In spiritual family, there is a values transformation. A values transformation. Meaning this, when you come into spiritual family, you're going to find out what's important to Jesus. You will. And as you find out what's important to Jesus, it's going to become important to you. There's a values transformation in your life. And second thing is this, in spiritual family, you're going to find your mission assignment. You're going to find your mission assignment because we are in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual battle. In spiritual family, when there's love and there's unity, when my brother is going through a hard time, I can be his shield. When my sister is going through a difficult season, I can be her shield. When a young person is going through a difficult time and season of their life, I can be a spiritual parent to them. That's what family does. And what family does also is that we serve together. We find our place in serving together. Because as you serve, you'll find your significance in the body. And I'm going to tell you straight out. Can I tell you straight out? Be honest with you. Half of you like, I don't know what that means. So many people, let me have an honest moment. So many people come to Pearlside. Yes, yeah, they may have things that they need, but you can't stay there. For a family, you got to start serving. You got to start giving. The full tithe. Not just a tip. Right? You need to find a small group, a band of brothers, a band of sisters around you so that when you go through hard times, they'll be your shield. They'll be your support. They'll pray with you. They'll stand with you. Right? That's what the spiritual family does. I want to encourage you as a Pearlside Ohana, as we go into our summer months, don't be a consumer. Don't be a pretender. Don't be a tender. And I can tell you, some of you are getting very uneasy, and I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm speaking to you as a leader today, if I may. Many of you are just sitting. It's time to get off your seat and start serving. Be the best big toe you can be. Even when it hurts, show up and serve and smile and pour out. Be a parking person. All the parking people? Three of you, okay. That means we need more. Be an usher, because when you're an usher, then when other people don't listen to you, you'll know how it feels when you don't listen to them. Woo-hoo! Pastor, what did you smoke today? Serve in our community team to the homeless and the needy. Serve in our kids' ministry team. Serve on our worship team, because we need more men. I love Kalei, but it can't just be Kalei and CJ. We need more men. All the men. If you can just grunt and look manly, I'll take you. Just hold the mic and be like Elvis. Right? Serve. Find your place. Get involved and pull each other together, because as we do this, we'll find what spiritual family really is. The unity, the love, the purpose. Can we do this? I'm going to say this. There's a serve card in front of you. Fill it out. Get involved. And if you're already serving and you don't like that place, get into another place. It's okay. It's okay. Get involved. Sound team, I see Gordon waving at me. Sound team, all you got to do is just move some levers. That's it. I'm sorry, guys. Just go on the board and go, duh, 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 duh. Yeah. Come on. Get on our setup. Cleaning team, come on. I remember you hear my story passing away. I started off cleaning toilets. Yeah, it's all good. Be a big toe. Be the best big toe you can be in the house. Amen. Belongs that you can become. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, I pontificated into overtime. I pray that, Lord, you would, Lord, touch and speak to every heart here today. That we would find our place of significance. We'd find our place to serve the body of Christ, that we can grow in discipleship. We will find our place and find our fit. Discover our purpose so that we together can make a difference. Lord, speak to all of our hearts. That we can be a unified spiritual family. So that when the world sees, as Scripture says, how will people know you are my disciples? It's by their love for each other, for their brother, for their sister. I pray that, Lord God, we would walk in love. We would walk in relationship. Do your full work in all of our lives. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Can we give God praise this morning? Sometimes we will preach to tickle your heart. Sometimes we'll preach as leaders. And this is one of those days, as a leader of this house, get involved. Find your place. Serve, and you'll find your significance. Can I hear amen?